Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman, Don.
I am one hardcore D.O. Double D.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan, the Uneven Flow.
The Mountie always gets his man.
You are listening to Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
Hello and welcome to episode 13 of Mayhem Mikes here on the Geekcast Radio Network and This Week in Geek. I am one of your hosts, Dave John Mike. Joining me is Mike the Birdman Dodd. Hello.
Good morning.
Good evening. Good afternoon. Good night. Something.
Exactly.
And of course we have Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir.
Yo.
A little bit of business to get out of the way first. Since right before we recorded this, I received an email through the GCRN email servers from a organization called Chikara. They are a pro wrestling promotion that takes pop culture influences in a cast of original characters and effectively creates a comic book come to life event. So at some point between the time this episode releases and the next episode of Mayhem Mikes, which I have no idea when that will be, we will have the first Mayhem Mikes interview with a few of those people from that. It looks really, really cool. I've looked at some of the stuff already. I forwarded you guys the original email if you want to check it out. But yeah, so we've got our first interview for Mayhem Mikes coming up. And today we're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff. Battleground, Raw and SmackDown live changes since the draft and after the effects of Battleground, SummerSlam, and then the aftermath of SummerSlam. So that's what's going on for the show today. Ryan, really quickly, what's been going on with you?
Nothing.
Okay, that's
I'm trying to speed things up here.
funny guy. What about you, Mike? What's been going on with you?
Oh, a lot of writing, actually. I've been taking a lot of time this summer to do some writing on a book I'm proposing to a pretty major publisher in the next couple of months. So that's pretty much all I've been doing.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get to the battleground after this.
Triple threat match between the former members of the Shield for the WWE
smoke clear at the end of the day. I'm the guy still standing here.
This is the Roman Empire. The big dog walks out as champion.
Your fairy tale title reign, it's gonna come crashing down.
Call me whatever you want, but you call me champion.
This is a war.
And now, WWE Network presents Battleground.
All right, we are back, and we're going to talk about Battleground. There is a bunch of stuff happening on Battleground. Starting off, we have the kickoff match, which, as everyone knows, if you've listened to the last 12 episodes of this podcast, I do not watch the kickoff show, but it was Breezango versus the Usos. Breezango defeating the Usos.
The fact that the Usos lost to these bunch of pussy farts really shows how far they've fallen.
Yeah, but they're getting pushed now, which is a huge problem, by the way, because SmackDown has no credible tag team heels who have won basically ever since the merger, which is a problem. Although, like, we'll get to SmackDown's colossal deficiencies later, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. We then had Sasha Banks and Bayley defeating the WWE Women's Champion Charlotte and Dana Brooke.
I like watching
Sasha and Bayley kick their ass. I thought that was a great match.
I've been saying this for months. I honestly get more out of watching the women wrestle most times than I do the men.
But, because they've been really good lately.
Oh, yeah. Like, I love Sasha Banks. I need one of those, like, legit boss shirts. I love watching her, like, in-ring work. Love and the attitude and swagger, too.
And the other recurring thread we'll get to is wrestlers who injure themselves with their style, and unfortunately she's one of them, because I absolutely love Banks as well, but she takes way too many risks, and because of that, she gets hurt a lot, i.e. Daniel Bryan, i.e. what The Miz was getting at, where unfortunately he's right. But anyway, in the context of this, Banks was good. Give Charlotte a ton of credit, too. She's 1,000 times better than she was, even as far back as when she was in NXT. She just continues to improve. The only downer is she's not super consistent on the mic. Sometimes she has issues. But in terms of, like, in-ring, she's pretty much always really solid.
I think her athletic ability is great. It's wonderful. It's just, as I've said before in the last 12 podcasts,
she's finally comfortable, though.
Really getting there, and a lot quicker than
now that she doesn't have, you know, the staple of the old man attached to her hip.
Yeah, is Ric Flair these days, anyway?
Oh, he's still, he's at all the NXT events and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, so he's still around, just not hanging out.
Yeah, he's just not on camera with Raw or anything, which is probably for the best.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
No offense to him, but, I mean, he overshadows whoever he's with, and so that's kind of a mistake.
Yep. Then we had the 6-man tag team match, the Wyatt family defeating the New Day.
Holy shit, do you remember when the Wyatt family were on pay-per-views?
Yeah, I know, right? Really? And they were a threat. I don't remember anything about this match, but I do remember them doing a stupid angle where they tried to have Xavier Woods brainwashed by Bray Wyatt, and that went precisely nowhere.
How they told that in the... Well, it wasn't out of nowhere, but how they told that in
nowhere.
Oh, yeah, sorry. How they told that in the context of the match wasn't bad. And so it ended up being not a bad match, but, this sucks because we have the benefit of hindsight now, obviously, because we know what happens afterwards. But, I mean, the Wyatts go nowhere. New Day, we'll get into them when we get to SummerSlam. Anyway, that was a meh match. Like, it was all right. It wasn't anything special, but, whatever.
See, I always prefer I know this is a tag match. I much prefer the more Battle Royale style. Like, if they're going to do a 6-man, 8-man, it's just a small Battle Royale.
So make it Tornado Tag, where there's no tags.
Yeah.
Everyone's in there.
Yeah, pretty much.
I agree with you, actually. I
like the Tornado Tag a hell of a lot better than the 6-man.
Yeah, if you're going to have six, or even worse, what they keep doing on SmackDown now, which is this giant, like, hey, let's have all of our tag teams out at once.
And they don't even fill the ring, which is sad.
Anyway.
So then we had the United States Championship match, Rusev defeating Zack Ryder. Man, I really want, like, I've come around to Zack. I got tired of him really quick when he first debuted, but I've come around to Zack. I kind of wanted him to win this. I knew he was never going to win it because, hello, it's Rusev. I mean, but...
I can't picture the Bulgarian brute losing to woo-woo-woo. I love Zack, too. I really think he needs another push. But yeah, he's never going to beat Rusev. I don't even know what belt Zack Ryder could carry outside of his internet championship.
Well, now he's stuck with the tag team kind of... He's stuck in the tag team division with Mojo Rawley, who... Oh, dear. But anyway. On the other hand, like, he could carry an Intercontinental belt. He could carry the U.S. belt, too, if they built him up properly. The problem is they don't want to build him up, and they don't want to... They're not doing well with certain talent, and Ryder's one of them.
So maybe this is a question for later, but I'm going to ask it now. Why the hell do they work for WWE if WWE isn't going to do anything with them?
Because they get more money there. You can go to TNA and then not get paid. That's one of your options.
Well, yeah, no, I know, but, like, what's the point of... I don't know how the
there's not the many options is the problem. Like, it's either that or indies if you want to be on television. And let's be honest, like, what would you rather be on TV with the biggest company, period, or be like close to the top of the indies, and that's. And not get paid.
No, like, just motivation for getting paid to do nothing. I mean, I'm saying in the ring, getting paid to essentially lose all the time. That's what I'm asking is, what's the motivation there if you never
it's
ever...
Well, sort of what happened with, like, Ryback, where he's like, if you're going to waste me, then get rid of me.
Yeah.
Which, you know what, as much as Ryback tried to fight the system, say, hey, everybody should have equal access. We saw how well that worked out for him.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate, too, because I think he was a talent that I think if he was built properly could have been really awesome. I really like Ryback, at least as a person. As an in-ring worker, it varied depending on who he was
solid.
Partnered with.
Yeah.
All right, then we had Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
This being a good match.
Yeah,
all of their matches were good. And the two of these two guys just top each other each time they fight.
Yeah.
And they did the right thing here, by the way, because a loss doesn't really hurt Owens that much. And Sami... No, and Sami's become one of the top faces, like... anyone who watched Raw this past week, when Sami was announced as one of the competitors, like, he got one of the loudest pops of everybody. So, yeah, he's a guy that he's got the Daniel Bryan storyline in his future of the undersized guy who they let, like, have chance after chance, and
Let's
he eventually
just hope
wins.
He does have Daniel Bryan's bad luck and injuries.
No, however, look, we'll get to that later when we talk about the Miz in SummerSlam.
Yeah. Then we had Natalya versus Becky Lynch, with Natalya winning.
I actually really like this match. I know it was slow and people were slightly down on it, but it was good psychology. She worked over the leg. I like Natalya. She is kind of the ring general of the women's division, but she's stuck in the suck hole, which is SmackDown, in terms of the women, where most of the better wrestlers are on Raw. So, yeah. I mean, she's going to get stuck in angles with the Bellas to push
the
their
thing is
stupid new show.
The thing about Natalya, as an in-ring worker, fantastic. I love watching her. She's really good. The thing is, they give her nothing to do storyline-wise.
Well, they have. I mean, they give her stuff with Becky, and they let her talk quite a bit. But as soon as the split happened, SmackDown, what they kept doing was the same thing they did with the tag match, or the tag division. They didn't know what to do, and so they just had everybody out for every match. And they did it with the women, so nobody really gets any time, and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. I like that match. That match was fun. We had another six-man tag match, which I enjoyed this one a little bit more, was Cena, Enzo, and Cass defeating the club.
This was good. I think I enjoyed it. I love watching anything Enzo.
You skipped the
Intercontinental,
between...
which lasted all 2 minutes.
Oh, Intercontinental. Okay, I'm so... Well, it ended in a double disqualification. Okay, so...
Just Intercontinental...
No, it was Miz won by DQ in the end. At least that's how... Yeah,
yeah.
They marked it. But yeah, it was... By the way, it was worth skipping over.
Yeah.
It was not good. The end was... The end
it's
was confusing.
Desi Young. I mean, it's a former Nexus guy.
Yeah, well, that's Cena's fault. But anyway, thanks for burying an entire faction. No, I mean, it's two guys that are decent workers, but it was just a terrible booking. The end of that match was confusing. And Darren Young got DQ'd. Something happened. A bunch of things happened on the outside. And it just, I don't know.
Yep. So, back to Cena, Enzo, and Cass versus the club. This was awesome. I love seeing Enzo and Cass team up with Cena. That was just fun.
It was interesting because, like, Cena gave them the microphone and kind of... Yeah. Cena's very much starting to step aside. And
he's
this was the...
the future.
Yeah, and that was the start of it. I would argue he should have done it a while ago. I mean... the stuff with the Nexus has been well documented that he, you know, decided backstage he put himself over an entire faction, which was a huge mistake, and killed them off. I mean, he cites it as a mistake now, so
yeah,
I'm not, you know. And then
right.
And some of the stuff, obviously it's not his fault, but yeah, it's good that he's doing it now. He started it with the U.S. title run, which was fantastic, about a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that U.S. title run, that, you know, any, you know, open challenge thing, that was awesome. It's something I've said. I think I said it back when that whole thing was going on with him and Rusev. We finally, you know, I've been watching WWE since, you know, religiously since 2008, 2007, whenever the hell WrestleMania 23 was, because WrestleMania 23 was the first WrestleMania I had seen in a long time. In all that time, we haven't had championship matches on Raw or SmackDown. Like, not a lot of them. We've had some, but it's like few and far between. So that was such a refreshing thing for me, watching Cena do that U.S. title open challenge. The thing with me with Cena now is, yeah, I agree. He needs to step aside, and if they want to eventually give him a title reign again, that's all well, good, and fine. I like that they're bringing up the new guys and like Owens and Zayn and all that stuff and everything else, but I still want to see Cena do something on the show. I don't want to just see him go away. I don't think they would do that because he's been the face that runs the place for God knows how long at this point.
No, and he's still definitely, I mean, he's been putting on really good, high-quality matches for a couple of years now.
Right.
And I think they want that, obviously, and they need that. So that helps a lot. Yeah, there's no reason to have him just sort of disappear now. I don't think he will. He might he might do more side stuff and be on less. I think that's more likely. Not to mention, I mean, I hate to say it, but he's getting older, so recovery time and stuff probably takes a little longer.
Right.
So there's stuff like that, too. But yeah, just...
And then there was the highlight reel, and finally we have the championship triple threat match. So the highlight reel was Chris Jericho featuring the return of Randy Orton.
Yay.
Welcome back, Randy.
Yeah, essentially. Okay, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns. Oh, boy.
Shield triple threat. Ooh, it was actually pretty good.
See the three of them fight each other because they were formerly brothers in the Shield and all that. I just love seeing all three of them work together. Whether they're working with each other to destroy the rest of the WWE, or whether they're working against each other. I just love seeing all three of them work as, you know, as a billing, as a booking. I just love that. That's awesome.
I thought it was a surprise end to, I mean, yes, we had the Roman Reigns suspension.
Yeah.
He loses this. Not only that, but he would go on to lose to Balor on Raw right after. So, right. I mean, it was a surprise ending. I wonder in hindsight what they would have done. This is another one that we now know the results. Ambrose has been an absolute dud as champ. Reigns is unfortunately back to being booked as Reigns again. And out of the bunch of them, Rollins seems to be the only one that has a measure of success. But apparently the turnbuckle powerbomb is death, so maybe he should take that out of the repertoire.
Yeah, that's true. Mike, any thoughts on the triple threat?
I really liked it. I'm sad that Dean Ambrose hasn't done more with it. There was some glimmer of hope.
Which is weird, because Austin challenged him right around this time and told him he needed to be better. And then in the stuff since then, he has not been better. You know, Ziggler, part of it was Ziggler was never a credible threat for him because Ziggler's lost for the last 30, you know, 40 matches constantly, pretty much. But he didn't do himself any favors, and they never got the crowd in it at SummerSlam, as we'll get to. So,
yeah. Overall, what would we give 0 to 5 stars for Battleground, Ryan?
Man, this is tough. I think if you had asked me after, I'm pretty sure I enjoyed it a fair amount. So I probably would have said 4 or so at the time.
Mike?
I'd go about a 3.5. It was pretty good. There were some slow moments here and there, but it's better than most of the pay-per-views have been this year.
Right. I'm also going to give it a 3.5. I'm not a fan. Like, I don't mind the highlight reel or any of the wrestler shit, like their character shows on Raw or SmackDown. But during a pay-per-view, I don't think we need to have any of that. We need to have longer matches if possible. And I know that's kind of silly, seeing as how some of these people can't wrestle that. Not all of them, but you know what I mean? Where that time that was taken for the highlight reel could have been a longer triple threat or a longer women's match or a longer...
Well, we'll get to this with SummerSlam, but I mean, one of the problems now is the events are just too long, period.
Yeah.
SummerSlam... 4 hours. Well, SummerSlam had a 2-hour pre-show, and the crowd was so out of it by the time...
They're tired.
Yeah, I don't blame them. It's 6 hours of wrestling plus. Like, that is too much to ask of your viewing audience or especially your people at the stadium or whatever. That's unrealistic and unsustainable. So I'm hoping they get away from that. They need to dump the pre-show, at least in the stadium. If they want to do a pre-show and have a panel or something, that's fine. But don't make the crowd get there, you know, an hour or 2 hour early. Have one match. Have people chat for 35 minutes. Have another quick match. Have another long break. Like, that's... Your crowd's just going to get ticked off.
Yep. All right, we're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to come back really quickly, briefly, and talk about the Raw and SmackDown Live changes since the draft. During the break, you're going to hear the new theme songs for both shows, so there's that. We'll be back after this.
Welcome to a new day, welcome to a new era, welcome to a new Monday Night Raw. We are live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, our new broadcast facility overlooking the ring. Michael Cole, Byron Saxton, and our brand new broadcast colleague, former NXT Tag Team Champion, and the voice of NXT, Corey Graves. Plenty from us later on, but let's kick things off with our Commissioner Stephanie McMahon and our general manager, Mick Foley.
Ready to kick this thing off?
I'm ready.
Welcome, everyone, to SmackDown Live.
You see, it's a new era in SmackDown Live. And this show, it's not about us. It's about the amazing superstars and giving them the opportunities that they deserve.
And more importantly, it's all about you, and it's all about you.
Center in Buffalo, New York. Welcome to the WWE show that's guaranteed to be lit. This is SmackDown Live on the USA Network.
What's up, Buffalo?
You're live, right?
Thank you very much for that. As Daniel was saying, SmackDown is all about opportunity. But more importantly, it's about seizing that opportunity. And that's why on September 11th, we're going to start doing SmackDown-only pay-per-views, and we're going to have our first one entitled Backlash, exclusively live on the WWE Network. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. We're going to be talking about SummerSlam. And since SmackDown is the exclusive home to the one and only WWE Champion, we need to find an opponent for Mr. Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the undisputed WWE Champion, Dean Ambrose!
The WWE Kingpin, Dean Ambrose. You have to respect a man that literally scratched and clawed his way to the summit of sports entertainment.
Incredibly proud that Dean Ambrose found a way at Battleground to bring that prestigious title, the greatest title in sports entertainment history, the WWE Championship, right here to SmackDown Live. You think he would have got a makeover or something, though?
I think he looks all right.
That face.
He looks great with the championship.
A championship, you're right, David. I love it being home on SmackDown.
SmackDown Live is indeed the Ambrose Asylum.
So now that we've heard the Raw and SmackDown Live, Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live theme songs, let's talk about the changes since the draft. Okay, so my first big thing is Raw has this new broadcast center, whatever the hell they call it. And at first, I didn't know where the hell they were putting this thing until, like, the most recent, like, this, as of this episode, this past week's Monday Night Raw. It's actually up right as the wrestlers come out of the back. So it's, like, like, no more tables on Raw are going to be able to be destroyed. Yet on SmackDown, I noticed it's in the same damn place it's always been. So what's the deal with the... I mean, I know this is a little minor thing here, but, like, what's the hell's the deal with having a broadcast center where you can't destroy anything anymore, and then on the other show having just the same old setup where you lose a bunch of money on announce tables?
Yeah, no, and one actually looks a little more professional than the other.
Yeah, the broadcast center on Raw looks great because it's completely almost separate from the ring anymore.
Maybe that's why the broadcasters on Raw aren't horrible, and then the SmackDown team is. But anyway,
hey, you leave Mauro alone.
I know. He's... I feel so bad for him.
David Otunga.
Yeah, and what the hell happened to Otunga? He used to be half decent, but I swear JBL has somehow infected his brain. And then on the opposite side, what the hell? Byron Saxton's actually made good points. Somehow, like, Corey Graves has, like, turned him into something usable.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
And even then, is like...
getting beat up afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know. And Graves seems to keep Cole in check. Like, even he's less annoying. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, it just goes to show that when you do these kind of things with people, the people that you're partners with in broadcasting and whatever else, they're going to rub off on each other as far as their traits and personalities. And I've always been a believer in the fact that the announcers should not be a part of the storylines.
No.
The announcers are there to give us, the viewers, the breakdown of what's going on. Can you sit there and make jokes and be like a JBL type style? Yeah, sure. Can you sit there and give full-on analytics of what move is being said like Mauro does? Yeah, sure. But at no point, at any time in the past or even now, should there have ever been an announcer storyline in ring. I'm looking at the Michael Cole, Jerry the King Lawler bull snot from a few years ago. Like, that was just crazy, stupid stuff.
Yeah. You're there to give info. You're not there to be the info.
Right.
On that note, by the way, just a quick note on Graves. He had one of my all-time favorite lines a week or two ago. It was on NXT, and he was referencing a tag team. And he was talking about them, and he was saying that, you know, one of them needs to turn on his partner, and they need to break up because he's holding him back. And, you know, standard, like, heel stuff. But what I loved is he goes to the announcers, and he just goes, like, you know, I know a little something about this. As you guys recall, I was tag team champion with Neville, and I realized he was holding me back. And so, I realized I had to get rid of him. So, you know, I turned on him, roughed him up. And then he stops, like he pauses for a second, and then he goes, of course, I ended up here with you two, so obviously I made the wrong decision.
Wow.
I just really thought that was hilarious. So.
That's awesome. All right, so we've got Stephanie and Mick running Raw, Shane and Daniel running SmackDown. What do we think of the two different shows, the way they're being run since...
Someone pointed this out. I was watching... There's another wrestling podcast called Going In Raw with Steven Larson from...
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those clips.
And they made a really good point. It seems to me that the writing staff over on SmackDown, they're allowed to be a little bit more goofy. And I think I kind of like SmackDown a little better from that perspective, is that they seem to have a little bit more freedom because they don't have the depth in the roster. So they can do what they want.
I'd say that's the two problems, though. And the other issue is they don't know what to do with either the tag teams or the women.
They have no idea. Sucks.
And the other
is talent there.
The other thing I hate about SmackDown so far is the whole point was that it wasn't going to be about the GMs or the non-wrestlers, and yet Brian and Shane seem involved in everything.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, that was the whole point of it. Whereas on Raw, you know, Stephanie and Mick come out, but what they've been doing is what the Authority never did for months. And that is they come out and they clearly lay out the plan. They clearly lay out why you should watch. They go like, okay, tonight Sasha and Charlotte, you're going to fight for the WWE title. They say why, because Sasha, you made her tap out last night at the pay-per-view.
Right.
Like, that is something that, you know, they used to just throw stuff together, and it would be like, okay, Kevin Owens, you're fighting Chris Jericho tonight because...
Yeah.
Like, it's more clearly defined, like, it feels like there's some sort of ranking system there.
Well, I think maybe, and I could be wrong about this, but I think it's because it's Mick Foley and it's not her husband anymore. And don't get me wrong, Triple H is great. He's a great matchmaker, all that stuff. But just that whole authority bullshit, thank God that's over.
Yeah.
But with Mick Foley there, I think what he is bringing to the table is bringing back old style, still keeping it the PG current era as far as not, you know...
I think he's at the point where he doesn't care if he's an important part of the show either. He's willing to just be there and get out of the way.
Right. Well, like, he made the first in a long time that I could ever remember, the first mixed match since the rebrand.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. The mixed tag match, that was great. I thought that was him being innovative, and I thought that was really, really cool. SmackDown, I find it funny. I almost agree with Mike, where I almost enjoy SmackDown more because it's no longer that much of a joke. It's still a joke, but it's not like Vicky Guerrero joke anymore. Because I remember SmackDown 10, 15 years ago. Oh, my God. I hated watching SmackDown 10 or 15 years ago. And since Shane and Brian have taken over, I'm really digging it. I thought it was cool.
Man, we're exactly on the opposite. I think SmackDown is terrible now. It's near unwatchable. Part of it is because Daniel Bryan, the secret to Bryan's success is when he was being real. He's awful in these scripted segments. That's a problem. They just don't have talent, though. I mean, their mid-card is appalling. And they haven't been helped either with the fact that Ambrose has just not stepped up. And I don't know. They have... Basically, the roster is AJ Styles, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. Whereas the Raw stuff, I could tune in... A, the wrestling has been way better, although part of that's because, like, the roster is stacked. I mean, they lose Balor, but it still is a ridiculously good roster overall. And they just keep adding people. I mean, they added Bayley.
Yep.
And SmackDown gets Nikki Bella back. Yippee.
Wait, didn't she get... They also got... or no, wasn't that right? Who got Alexa?
Alexa Bliss went to SmackDown.
Yeah. So that's at least some fresh new faces. All right, last thing on SmackDown and Raw for now, I will ask.
The belts?
Okay, for the longest time, what are you going to say, Mike?
The belts? Should we talk about those?
No, we'll talk about those at the end because that's aftermath of SummerSlam. The last thing I'll ask before we head to SummerSlam is, what do we think about Monday and Tuesday night? Because for the longest time, it was... Monday and Thursday or Monday and Friday. What do we think of Raw and SmackDown being on back-to-back nights? And then I know they have NXT and everything else, but like no more flagship shows the rest of the week.
I think you need that 24 to 48 hours break between the two shows. And that's a lot to ask of both kind of staff too.
Yeah, most of the people I know that watch both end up DVRing SmackDown and watching it later. Although to be blunt, the other problem or part of that is because it really is the B show.
Yeah, I mean for me, I'm a cord cutter, so I just watch it the next day on Hulu. So for me, I watch Raw on Tuesday morning and I watch SmackDown on Thursday morning. So it's not that big of a deal. But I mean, for those that watch it live, please comment in the post and let us know how you feel about it being Monday and Tuesday night and not like I used to love having that separation of Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown because Monday Night Raw essentially was the kickoff of the week and then Friday Night SmackDown was the kickoff for the weekend. So that was cool. All right. Let's head to SummerSlam after this.
New York lives in me. You. All of us. This. Ha! This is SummerSlam, baby.
And now, Cricket Wireless and KFC present WWE SummerSlam.
All right, folks, our main event is SummerSlam. Just happened recently as of this coming Friday when we released this. So kicking off, we have the Usos, American Alpha, and the Hype Bros defeating Breezango, the Vaudevillains, and the Ascension.
Hey, did I mention that SmackDown's one of their big problems with the tag division is they have A, no credible heel teams, B, they just jam everyone together in one match, and C, nobody cares.
And it sucks, because I thought the Vaudevillains were actually going somewhere for a while.
And they're solid. American Alpha is the best of this group, but having them come in and just beat everybody immediately, i.e. giving them the Roman Reigns treatment, and then saying that like nobody's in their league and basically just handing them belts, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, that's not a real compelling way to make it seem like your tag division's worth watching.
Pretty much, yeah.
By the way, I'll note quickly on SummerSlam overall, this is the second WWE big pay-per-view of the year. The other one's WrestleMania. And this is the second time NXT, I would argue, and especially this time, put on a much better pay-per-view on the same weekend. Anyone who hasn't, watch NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 2. It is incredible. Not only is it the best NXT's ever done as in terms of a pay-per-view, it's one of the best pay-per-views I've seen. They knocked
Even
it out of the
Dallas?
Park. Yeah. Like, they knocked it out of the park from top to bottom. It's helped by the fact it's filled with guys who people have wanted to see forever, and it's filled with a bunch of dream matches. But, I mean, holy cow. Like, the NXT roster is better than the SmackDown roster right now. I've watched that pay-per-view twice now, and I could watch it repeatedly.
All right, after that, we had a second kickoff match where it was Sami Zayn and Neville versus the Dudley Boys. Okay, first of all, why the hell are you pairing Sami Zayn with anybody? He is a singles performer, you idiots.
Because they didn't know what to do with him. They wanted him on the card. And yeah, that was a mistake.
God. And the Dudley Boys, we'll talk about them later.
They retired.
But essentially, what?
They retired.
Yeah.
For now, they'll be back.
Probably.
Because in another 20 guys, years. We need something to fill a roster spot.
Yeah, they'll be on SmackDown.
They need car payments.
They'll be on SmackDown because they don't have any good heel teams.
Get the table. Daddy needs a Volvo.
Yeah.
All right. Then we had Sheamus versus Cesaro. This was a kickoff match. This is the third. They had three kickoff matches here. And this one apparently is a best of seven series opener.
Yeah,
what the hell?
And by the way, that was another thing they did on Raw where they set up the, again, clearly setting up what the people are fighting for, which is something that was missing during the Authority time. That, you know, the winner of this is going to be elevated and the winner of this will get the title shot whenever they want. And stuff like that's smart because we know what they're fighting for now. We know why each guy would want to win this. I don't know. It's a good idea. Now, I don't know if these guys can put together or why the hell my phone's going off. I don't know if these guys can put together seven good matches together, but
right.
This one was solid anyway.
Yeah.
Sheamus is not a bad worker. It's just we've kind of forgotten about him because he loses a lot.
Well, because he has no consistent character.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, he doesn't have a great character.
Other than him yelling fella, like every...
And he likes to fight.
Yeah, and are you not entertained? Like, fuck off, Maximus.
Like, and he has bad hair.
Yeah, like, you look stupid. See, when he was a face, you could get behind him. As a heel, he sucks.
Yeah. This one kicked off with Jericho, or I should say Y2KO.
It's Jericho. It's Jericho is the team.
Jericho, whatever. Yeah. Jericho, Jericho and Kevin Owens versus Enzo and Cass. No, wait, what?
Yeah, it's Enzo and Cass versus Jericho.
They have it written as his real name. Don't do that, WWE.com, you idiots.
I don't know what you're talking about, but anyway.
they have it written as Colin Cassidy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's his name. Anyway, and that's also not his real name, but anyway. It was a good opening match. Good Lord, though. Owens continues to just entertain. So
yeah,
the two spots I remember most are both him being a interesting fellow. One, there was his... Yes, when he did Enzo's dance, that was amazing. The other thing I remember, actually, there's two more, sorry. One is he tries to distract the referee by saying he has got a headache while he's in the corner. So Jericho can cheat. That's outstanding. And then lastly, he did his usual where he bounces off the ropes a bunch of times, looks like he's going to do something big, and then he stops and puts him in a chin lock and yells, like, chin lock city, bitch, or stuff like that. Yeah, he was on point. But yeah, this is a solid opener, and it's interesting that the non-tag team won, because, I mean, they clearly want Enzo and Cass. They're pushing big things for them. The Jericho thing, I think, is smart, though. It's two guys they don't necessarily know what to do with right now, so let's put them together. They're super over, and it doesn't really hurt them if they end up losing this feud, which they probably will. And that's fine, I think. And it made for a good opening match. Like, this pay-per-view started off strong, and the crowd was in it at this point, but yeah, we'll get to it.
And then, did you have any thoughts on the Jericho match, Mike?
I thought it was fantastic. I love watching it. That entire match from top to finish was fun. I loved it.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we go to the women. Charlotte's defeating Sasha for the championship.
Sasha takes too many risks. And the one spot in this match where she had her neck hit the corner in just such a way.
Yep,
I remember looking at Blair thinking, oh,
shit. Or the attempted razor's edge from the top by Charlotte where Sasha turns it into Hurricane Rana. But if you watch Sasha, she lands right on her neck again.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Sasha Banks, but she's already, if anyone doesn't know this already, she's out for a couple months. That's why they took the belt off of her.
Months?
Yeah, she's out for one or two months. And it's because of this. Like, I love Daniel Bryan, and I love that style. I love this the athleticism it takes and that kind of thing. But if it's going to take your career and end it prematurely, you know, we'll hit on this in probably about two or three more minutes now. Actually, we can mention it now because Miz is in the next match. Miz went off on Daniel Bryan on Talking Smack.
Talking Smack. Yeah.
And it's one of those, it straddles the line between real and fake, because I could see Miz being angry. Daniel Bryan calls Miz a coward for his in-ring work.
Right.
And if I'm Miz in real life, by the way, I would be upset by that. And he was right. He goes right after Bryan and calls him the coward, saying, you know, basically, you want to criticize me, but the way I work, I'm still at this 10 years later. You were kind of a flash in the pan and had to take months off in between.
Yeah.
And he's still working, whereas Brian is retired and probably done. And it got real personal when Miz says, if you love this so much, why don't you quit and you can go back and work in the indies? And I hate to say it, but he's right. If Brian really wanted to, he could quit and walk away. But obviously, like, health has to enter in. Like, we had Edge retire early because he was told one more bad bump and you die. It's not, you know, paralysis. It's not, oh, you might need surgery. It's just dead.
Yeah.
And Brian is probably not far off that, considering how many years he's worked insanely. Like, Edge took, you know, a lot of risks, but probably fewer than Brian overall. And I don't think he wrestled probably about the same amount of time, but maybe not as often. And just, I don't know, like, you watch it Cena. Cena gets a lot of criticism, but you know what? His style is safe. He doesn't injure people, and he doesn't get hurt. Now, recently, like starting with the U.S. stuff, he started to do more, and I think, you know, that's fine. I'm glad, you know, he did have to take time off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, people want to criticize him, but he's put on good matches for, you know, decades without risking his body. And I like a lot of these wrestlers as human beings. I don't want to see somebody like Sasha Banks or Bryan Danielson, people like that, have to retire early, have to give up their career and what they love doing because they're killing themselves for, you know, would this match against Charlotte have been bad without that neck bump Mike mentioned? No, it still would have been a good match. Like, does that add enough to it that you should do it? In my opinion, no.
No. Don't take. There's a difference in being a risk taker and knowing the risk you're taking, and being a foolish risk taker and just taking the risk because you just don't give a shit. Don't be a foolish risk taker, people. So up next, we have The Miz versus Apollo Creed. I'm sorry, Apollo Crews. Hey, it's The Miz, man. He was the one that made the joke first. I had to bring it up.
You know, there's a thing, though. I go between really liking The Miz and really disliking him.
I feel like The Miz showed again on Talking Smack why, if they actually give him something to do, and give him, you know, somewhere to go with it, he can be really good. And Cruz is not that guy, because, listen, I love Apollo Cruz as a person. He seems like a really great guy and nice person. But what's his character? Can anyone tell me? Like, he's just like the smiley guy who's happy to be there. Like, okay.
I mean, how long has Cruz been there? He hasn't been there that long. Didn't they just draft him? He's been there a year, really?
He hasn't been that long. Yeah, I don't think he's been there a year.
I think he was in NXT for over a year, wasn't he?
Okay, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, for someone who isn't like you guys, I don't watch. Yeah. It's not that I don't want to, but...
Oh, it's fine.
I don't watch NXT. So, for me, like, didn't he just get drafted to...
Within the last six.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's like he's only been in WWE main eventing for 6 months, and they haven't.
It's
how long does creative take to set a character?
It's one of the things that the split's supposed to help, right? It's supposed to give him more time on the mic to create his character and be his character, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah,
and this match really suffered because of it. I thought, you know, maybe Miz did kind of the best they could with it, and so did Cruz, but, like, it just wasn't that compelling or anything, so.
Yeah. Okay, so one thing we got to talk about before we get to the next match is, because that Raw is its own thing and SmackDown is its own thing now, are the announce teams going to trade off in every pay-per-view now?
No, because we're going to get specific pay-per-views.
Okay. Alrighty then. So, 2 pay-per-views a month. Yay.
No, more work. Probably, well, who knows, actually. I was going to say probably not, but they're not. Who knows?
Alright, so we got AJ Styles, the Phenomenal One, versus the face that runs the place, John Cena. And, of course, AJ defeats John. I love watching these two work, not only with others, but working together, because seeing the to kind of be very punny here, to see their styles clash, you know, between what AJ does and what John does. And we were saying earlier that John is pretty much a safe wrestler. He takes risks, but he doesn't take unnecessary, foolish risks. And it's one of those things that he's been doing this so long, and so is AJ, but AJ... John's more of a ground guy, I think.
Yeah, Styles can do the kind of flippy stuff, but what's interesting is that, yeah, he's not dangerous either. Like, his style's not super heavy impact on him either, which is why he's been able to do this forever.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I like about their styles. I mean, there's only been a few times, I think, in his entire career that I've seen John take the high rope risk type stuff. You know, and I think that's awesome. But this match is just so fun. What did you think, Mike?
Intense. I had a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah. Ryan?
For me, it was one of the best matches. It's one of the best matches this year, I'd argue, too. It was really good. If it weren't for the tag match on NXT, I'd say it was the best match of the weekend. And, yeah, it was fantastic. And it was the highlight of the show, which, as we go move into the next match, was kind of a problem because the audience just died after this match. Part of that was horrible
booking. You
could turn
off the pay-per-view after this. That's how bad it got.
Yeah. Okay, so we had, after this match, we had Gallows and Anderson versus The New Day for the tag team championship match. And The New Day lost via disqualification. But so technically Gallows and Anderson won via disqualification, but they didn't actually get the belts. Are they going to eventually put the belts on them?
I think they should have here. This was a terrible booking, and it was a bad match because, A, you've got a crowd that's already kind of out of it, and, you know, they have a no-finish match. Great. And why have Jon Stewart there at all? That was a huge mistake.
Oh, don't even – I couldn't even watch – because I watched these the next day on the network.
It makes no sense because he's not in the media right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just looking for an extra, like, rub so they can get, you know, TMZ might cover it or something. It's silly, and it's not worth it.
Yeah. So then we got Ambrose versus Ziggler for the WWE World Championship match.
Also booked terribly.
Yeah, but I really went, like, I remember when Dolph was a guy who was the highlight of the shows, and I've always liked Dean since I've known about him, so I kind of like seeing these two go at it. But yeah, I mean, it was just,
it wasn't well thought out. You have the GM and you have the commissioner come out and separate the guys because apparently they hate each other so much they're gonna go at it the second they see each other. And then the bell rings, and then they kind of dance around for the first, like, minute or two. Like, the tone was up and down all over the place here, and it moved from, like, you know, it moved from a quicker style, which both of them, it probably fits a little better, and then they slow down, and then it was just kind of all over the place, and it was they never got the crowd into it either. It probably wouldn't have been a better match if the crowd hadn't gone sleepy time.
Yeah.
And I can't blame them for that, by the way, because this whole night was terribly booked. And you get great match, and then you get, what, three pointless comedown ones.
Yeah. More, well, yeah, kind of. All right, one last pointless match we have, which I think this match is really cool.
It was a good match. I'm not trying to take anything away from anybody who was performing on this.
Right.
It's just if you're making your 6-hour pay-per-view, you've got to do a better job of keeping the crowd into it and knowing what's going to do that.
Give me a wow factor as opposed to a
also the
factor.
Placements were dumb too. I mean, why have the WWE title match as the fourth match of the night and then follow it with the six woman tag match who they don't even have a belt at this point.
Yeah. See, this the Ambrose Ziggler match and the six women tag match should have been flip flops. So Ziggler and Ambrose came right before Finn and Seth.
Yeah, Orton Lesnar shouldn't have been the main event either. Lesnar, I know they want to be a big draw, but I feel like the luster's kind of off at this point.
Yeah,
like
pretty much.
He's slowly being exposed that they really only have one type of match for the guy to wrestle, and that's it. And that's really probably all he really wants to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
So the Universal title for Raw was revealed. We've got Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins, which obviously Finn defeats him to become the first WWE Universal Champion. At first, I kind of wasn't that into the whole Finn Balor alter ego thing. I'm getting used to it. I'm getting, you know,
Balor's really good, and he'll draw you in eventually.
Yeah.
And that's why it breaks my heart that the guy's injured.
Yeah.
He's worked so hard for so long.
One of the things I'll say for Balor, tough son of a bitch. He gets thrown into the barricade.
Yeah.
At one point, pops his shoulder back in like it's nothing.
Yeah, he basically pulled a Martin Riggs. Well, he basically pulled a Lethal Weapon.
Well, yeah, he's like, yep, I'm the goddamn Terminator. And yeah, he always has this look on his face, too. That's the face of a champion, right?
He is very good, yeah, and he will hopefully have a long career. But, yeah, it's and also apparently, like, the tear or the dislocation was, quote, severe, unquote, said the doctor. Treating him like this wasn't a minor thing, and yeah, they put on a good match. What I was really impressed with was they somehow got the crowd to life again.
Yeah,
and the crowd was fixated on how the belt looks, which I can't blame them for, but I think that it did kind of hurt the in-ring guys. That made me a little sad for them, but alternatively, these two guys, they did a good enough job, and they were able to get the crowd back interested in them, which kudos to them, because, you know, I feel terrible criticizing Ambrose and Ziggler, but they weren't able to get the crowd back into it, and yeah. These guys somehow, you know, managed to wake them up in hour number 5.
Now, can I mention, there are just two things about this. First off, the belt looks like a bag of Doritos. And second of all, does anybody else think Seth Rollins' outfit looks like a Centurion or Discount Tron? Or is that just me?
No, I don't know. His outfits are getting odder and stuff, which, by the way, is amusing.
Stupider.
Yeah, I think it's part of the character, and it works. I gotta say, I said good things about Balor. I gotta say good things about Rollins. Since the Authority's been gone, Rollins is 100 times better and seems much more watchable. His whole subservient thing
was so stupid.
I look back now and yeah, it doesn't work well with him. The guy works way better as kind of an egotistical jerk.
Yeah.
He's very good in his role, and I find at least it hasn't gotten old. The other problem, though, is they're not giving him... He had a brilliant promo on Monday night after this, during the break, after the Zayn match, but it didn't go to air. It's on the WWE website. I highly recommend seeing that. It's a terrific promo, but yeah, why'd you cut away from it?
Yeah. Looking at the Universal Championship belt... It is essentially a giant half dollar in the center with 4 total Judge Dredd shields on each side. I swear the smaller parts on the sides of it, they remind me of the Judge Dredd shields.
It's ugly.
Mega City 1 does not approve.
Yeah, Mega City 2 can screw you, WWE. So because Roman Reigns rendered Rusev unable to compete, the U.S. Championship match did not happen.
What? This was fucking stupid.
Really? I would argue it was decent booking to get Reigns some support. The problem for me was the Raw beforehand, where they did the same old thing with Reigns. He gets beat up for the entire match, and then hits like his 2 moves and somehow wins. That was one of the big criticisms on Cena for years, and why I think a lot of fans got sick of him, because there was this perception that he wasn't working hard, and you know the other guy got all the offense in, and he just hits his 5 moves and goes home. Well, Reigns, they're not doing Reigns any favors by doing that either. I thought this was okay. It just, there were too many non-finishes in this pay-per-view.
Yeah. Absolutely. And speaking of finishes, the quintessential, the culmination of the pay-per-view, WWE, the 29th SummerSlam, Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton,
Sorry, Mike, were you going to say something about the previous one?
Fuck you, Reigns.
Ouch.
Okay.
Fair enough.
You know what I'll say? Okay, because I want to talk about this Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton thing.
Yeah.
There were points in this match, it seemed like a shoot. It seemed way too personal.
I don't blame Jericho for getting angry at Lesnar backstage, because it felt like he's got a reputation as a guy who's not out there to make the other guy be okay or anything. Like, he's kind of out there to do his thing, and he doesn't really care if the other guy gets hurt or not. Like, his suplexes, man, guys land on their neck on those all the time.
Yeah,
and like, that bugs me.
Like, they're not clean. He's throwing them for distance, not to make it look good.
Yeah.
And I think he only got, I think he got thrown, what? I think we got, what, 9 or 10 suplexes? And then he's doing 12. Then he just goes in the ground and pound. There's a look on Randy Orton's face at one point during this match where it's like, Jesus, Brock, I'd like to walk tomorrow.
Yeah, like, Brock, like, what was the deal with Brock in this match? Like, they build this as, like, the 15 years in the making. Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, they came up together, but now they're now enemies. And this billing and this booking for this match, while I love seeing Brock and Randy, this should have been the venom that Brock had in this match should have been the venom he had in the Undertaker matches. Like, all that stuff with him and the Undertaker, like, when they went up on Raw and they ended up out in the back and fighting and, oh, I'll kill you, you're going to have to, all that stuff, that's where this venom that Brock has in this match should have been, because he essentially destroys Randy. Like, I was surprised.
The whole booking...
Save Randy Orton for breakfast.
Yeah, the whole booking for this was, oh, Orton's just one RKO away from winning. Well, he hit two in a row, one of them on a table, and it didn't do anything.
Yeah. And, yeah, but the other thing is, by the time Brock went to ground and pound, he ground him like, you know, stale hamburger, because by the time it's... By the time he cracked open his skull and blood started coming out, I was like, oh my God, I know this is pay-per-view. I know people pay for this. I know people still pay for this outside of the WWE Network, which paying $60 for this or $70, it's just outrageous. Don't do that, people. Get the WWE Network, $9.99.
Plus it's worth it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. If WWE is supposed to have this PG look and this PG feel and not do all this blood and guts and gore stuff... How is this allowed?
Well,
this supposedly got cleared. Yeah.
So, really?
There's a look on Paul Heyman's face where he looks in the ring, looks at the ref saying, Jesus, man, you better stop this.
Well, Orton wasn't supposed to bleed as much as he did. That was obviously the error / what happened here. But, I want to hear, any other people's opinions on this if anyone wants to write in. I'm not a fan of this stuff where there's an ending and it's a TKO because the other guy's beaten so badly and they have him bloody and that kind of thing. I'm not a fan of it because we're only 3 or 4 months from that moment where Enzo got caught in the ropes and was really hurt. And right. I remember Owens somehow being able to get the crowd back into it, which, again, testament to his work. But I remember not being feeling into it again until him, just because I wasn't sure if Enzo was alive or not. And when they do these finishes, these scary finishes, that kind of thing, I feel like it undermines those dangerous moments. Or when Sasha fell on her neck in that match, it took me out of that match because I was wondering, like, oh my God, is she okay? Like, I don't like feeling that. I don't watch, I'm a huge football fan. I don't watch those and think, like, man, I really hope I get to see the stretcher come out, this game.
Yeah. Like, there's a fine line between entertainment and brutality.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. And I think it's okay for WWE to blur that once in a while. But it's happening a lot right now because they had Zayn fake what I thought was could have been a severe ankle injury, the night after on Raw. Like, that's two nights in a row with fake injuries. And then we have real ones like Sasha Banks. You know, you've got a discussion with a wrestler, Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan, whatever. Anyway, they've got a discussion with him about the fact that he was forced to retire because of injuries. It just kind of felt icky. Like, I didn't enjoy watching the end of this pay-per-view. And I feel like that's how, maybe that's because it's how it left me, or maybe it's because of, I'll be blunt here, the SmackDown matches were duds. I don't know, or a combination of those things. I didn't enjoy this pay-per-view. This is one of the first ones I want to give a failing grade to. And it makes me really sad because the NXT one was incredible on Saturday. Even if you're not an NXT fan and you don't know these characters, you need to watch it because the intros will make it clear who everyone is. That was the other thing, too. Why are the production values in NXT better than the big league ones? Like Bobby Roode.
Because there's a lot of younger kids looking to prove themselves.
No, because it's all older guys now. It's like Bobby
I'm not the production crew.
Oh, yeah. Like Bobby Roode's intro, everybody's heard that song at this point. His intro where they put him up on like a giant pedestal, and that was perfect. And then they have the violinist play Nakamura's theme, which that was also cool. Incredible and worked perfectly. Like, man, why can't WWE do any of that anymore?
Well, I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Ugh, I miss you, Wade.
So do I.
We miss you terribly. Okay, Mike, what was the... I've watched a couple of those clips on YouTube or a couple of those shows by those guys. What were those guys' names again? Was it Larson and...
Steven Larson, Going In Raw. Fantastic podcast.
The old Screwtape guys.
I had seen one of their shows via whatever... I think it's on Machinima. I don't know. Whatever channel it's supposed to be on. On YouTube, and after I watched this pay-per-view, and they said that the TKO was always supposed to happen. It just wasn't supposed to happen as viciously as Brock had put it in there to happen. And Paul Heyman was like, I remember him that whole match. Oh my God, I'm going to lose my job. Oh my God, what have you done? And then the end, and I know we talked about that the GMs are not supposed to come out and do stuff. I do not blame at all Shane coming out. Because he's just looking out for his guy.
That was booked, though. Was drenched in blood.
Yeah. That was the mistake. At one, what wasn't supposed to happen was they weren't necessarily supposed to have the refs come out there. I think it sucks that they didn't let anybody know, you know, how things were supposed to go down. Apparently, the refs and the medical staff didn't know this was supposed to happen or how it was supposed to happen. That's the mistake. They should have told somebody. And, you know, Shane obviously knew because they had him come out to take the F5, which, by the way, if this leads to a Brock versus Shane thing, I'm going to be pissed.
I don't know
if I would watch SmackDown again because that would be terrible. Like,
I love Shane McMahon. I think it's great that he's back. I think he's bringing in a bunch of new stuff and new ideas and all that stuff. But please, no. Shane versus Taker was all I needed. I do not need Shane wrestling anymore at all.
It would also make the roster look terrible because you're telling me you can't even find a wrestler to fight Brock. You need your commissioner to do it.
Yeah.
Go throw a couple of clones of Braun Strowman at him.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing a Strowman Lesnar match. I don't think that'll ever happen, but I think that would have been cool.
The two matches they could set up, which would be tolerable, is if they're going to keep pushing this Reigns is unbeatable thing, throw him against Lesnar, and then whoever wins, like, whatever. And then the other option, because he just lost the title, man, bring up Samoa Joe. That would be first of all, I mean, the match would be a nightmare to watch because these are two guys that work insanely stiff. But it's two guys that would love it. Like, two guys that love, you know, taking a real shot and that kind of thing. Which is why, like, the Nakamura-Joe match was so good, because these are two guys that have experience in actual fighting and don't mind, you know, getting hit hard. So I think that would work, too. And Joe's got the frame, too. He's a big dude. He's short. Right. But he's stocky and insanely strong.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts before we give ratings, Mike?
No, other than the fact that the line between brutality and entertainment got a little too close during this match, and I, for all the buildup they did, didn't live up to the hype.
Yeah. All right, SummerSlam 2016. What are you going to rate it, Ryan?
We're going out of five, right? Sorry, I just want
to
be clear.
0 to 5, yep.
Oh, I'll say 2.
2.5.
I'm going to say 1.5.
Wow.
It was just too goddamn infernally long.
Did anyone watch the pre-show?
I don't even watch the pre-show.
Yeah, I didn't watch the pre-show originally either, and it still felt long.
Yeah, I'm like...
And again, part of that too was the crowd, because the crowd was out of it, and I know Foley and some other people tore into the crowd, but you know what? You can't expect people to sit there for 6 hours.
Well, the thing is as we were saying earlier, this card, the way the matches came down, it's just horrible.
And baffling. Why do you have your world title matches so early in the card? And then they're like, let's follow it up with a 6-woman tag match. What?
Yeah, see, the 2-6 tag matches, the 12 tag matches, whatever you want to call the double of them, those should have been, like, you can have a kickoff, not a kickoff show match, but what was the first match again, Ryan? I don't have the thing pulled up anymore. What was the debut?
Wasn't the pre-show the Usos? And
yeah, not the pre-show. The debut for the event for SummerSlam itself.
Oh, the actual first match? Oh, that was Owens.
Okay, so have Owens and Jericho versus Enzo and Cass, then put the women, and then put another exciting match, and then put more exciting matches after that leading up to the ending of Brock. It's almost killing.
Or one of the things you could do, because we were talking about them using spectacle, kind of like how everybody has their own in-character talk show, or give us something interesting. Give us a concert for like maybe 10 minutes,
yeah,
or something. Like do like it's SummerSlam. There should be no reason.
I'm not a huge fan. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the concerts, but if you're going to end on a match that doesn't involve a belt, end on Cena Styles, because that's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And it's a bigger deal going forward, because it's clear that Styles is very much the chosen guy, and which, by the way, makes me happy, because it is proof that talent and that kind of thing can eventually get you to the top. Styles came in with all these knocks on him. I hadn't seen him since TNA, where he wasn't a good talker. He comes in, and I had friends tell me that he learned all this stuff in New Japan and was way better than even he used to be. But holy cow. Like, not only is he a great wrestler, he always was. That wasn't the question. He's become a great talker. And
he is
the complete package. And going forward, he's a guy they can build the company around. So... Yeah,
because as we've already said in this episode of the podcast, I don't want to sit here and be negative because I love John Cena, but take bets on his career, maybe another 5 years, maybe, with his age.
I think you'll see him start to step back significantly in the next 2.5.
Well, yeah, but I mean, with the injuries he's had in the last 2 years, I mean, he's really kind of stepped back.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't mind that John is not in any title picture right now. As long as I get to see John Cena come out and do his mic thing or come out and have some sort of physical action with anybody, that's really all I care about on Raw SmackDown now, Raw. But, you know, so that's really all I care about when it comes to John at this point, because the guy is, as we said, getting up there. So that's it for SummerSlam, folks. Oh. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back after this to... talk about the aftermath of SummerSlam, the Winter Slam? Who knows? Pixels in the Animation is the Geekcast Radio Network's video game cartoon review show. We are covering every episode of 9 different video game cartoons. Join TV's Mr. Neil and myself, TFG and Mike, as we trek through multiple Mario tunes, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Sonic, and we are also driving through Donkey Kong Country. Pixels in the Animation is 100 episodes of video game cartoon goodness, so tune in to help us find the Pixels in the Animation, which you can find every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Dwayne, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Sir Jarvis, is it that time?
The house party protocol, sir.
Correct.
The Pullbag is the GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join your host, DFU and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comic book world. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classics, Origins episodes, After Darks, and so much more. You can find the Pullbag every Wednesday in iTunes, on Stitcher Smart Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and of course, GeekCastRadio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into the Pullbag today.
All right, folks, we're about to close it out, but before we do, we have to talk about the aftermath of SummerSlam for this week's Monday Night Raw and Tuesday Night SmackDown Live. Actually, it's just called SmackDown Live now. Finn Balor, because of the injuries, relinquishes the Universal Championship. Seth Rollins immediately comes down and just assumes it's going to be handed to him. What an ass.
Poor Finn.
poor Seth. He actually has to work for it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the guy doesn't work for it, folks. I'm saying the character, why, you know, his whatever. What else happened? We had, oh God. So we had the Finn Balor thing.
The talking smack with the Miz and Daniel Bryan.
The talking smack with Miz and Daniel Bryan.
I'll say one thing about this. That makes me respect the Miz a lot more, because there was intensity. There was a real truth behind that.
Yeah. It reminded me that when they give him something to do, he can be really good with it.
Yeah, like,
yeah. Thankfully, Maryse just sat there and kept her mouth shut. Well, I could have sworn she was going to jump in.
Well, there's one point where he says to Renee, "Shut up, we're talking now." And he sees this look on Renee's face of, "Oh shit!" And they could have cut away the cameras. Now, supposedly, most of that was planned or at least outlined. But Ryan's right. When you give the Miz something to do, he can do some really good stuff, and he's more than just Mr. I'm a Christmas movie. I'm the Marine. He can do stuff, and I really like the Miz when you give him something. And if I could see the intensity from this Miz all the time, I'd be so happy.
Yeah. So there's that. What was the other thing we had to bring up, Ryan?
The Dudleys.
Dudley Boys.
Oh, the Dudley Boys retirement.
So
yes.
I hated this whole thing. I thought, you know, okay, it was fine that they had the Shining Stars come out and give the Dudleys like one last chance to put somebody through a table. The Shining Stars are terrible, by the way. That's another advantage of Raw, is they never give them time. But anyway, I'm fine with like that. That was good. But then they had the Club beat them up, which originally I was against. But then, holy cow, more credit to Corey Graves for putting it all in perspective when Graves later on just said, you know what, in the old days, they would have done that to somebody else.
Right.
And he's right. That's actually kind of the perfect kind of Dudley-esque send-off, because that's the type of stuff they used to do when they were the bad guys. So it kind of worked after that.
Yeah, I still wish that they would have at least had that 10-time championship thing before they left, but hey, it was just nice seeing them back, because I never know who they're going to bring back, because I don't look at a lot of the news sites. I just watch the shows to be entertained, really. You know, so it's one of those things where when they came back, I was like, oh, yeah, they're going to, you know, throw a bunch of people through tables and use tables and do all this and everything else. And I just thought it was going to be so cool.
They left it open for them to come back, at least, with the attack, which is also smart, because, I mean, they could say, you know, a couple months from now, the club are the champs, and then they're saying like, oh, we beat everybody, who's gonna come face us, and then the Dudleys come back for revenge. That would work.
Yeah. Anything else we want to say before I close it up, guys?
No. I know I've been harsh on SmackDown, but I've enjoyed the shows since the split. Raw in particular to me has been way better than it was.
I mean, Raw has been way better because of how they're doing the booking and how they actually have a plan. Whereas SmackDown, I feel that the way that the matches are coming down and the talent that's on SmackDown is still yet, most of the new talent still has yet to build itself up. I feel like it's the show that basically just wings it every week. I mean, they come out with some good and cool matches and everything else, but I'm still enjoying the hell out of SmackDown. I'm enjoying the hell out of both of them now, really, honestly.
Yeah, the split's been good for them, and it's given more time to guys who didn't get time before, which was the whole point of it.
All right, folks. For us here at GeekCast Radio Network and This Week in Geek, for Mayhem Mikes, we've got that new interview coming up, the first interview with the wrestling thing I mentioned earlier. After that will be episode 14. Episode 14 probably most likely won't be until right before Halloween, I would have to say, because I'm going on vacation in September through the middle of October. So I will be out in California for a few weeks. Yay, there's that. So please enjoy. And like I said, we're going to have that interview that we're going to have with all those guys over at Chinkara. So please go check that out. You can find me on social media at TFGWandMike. You can also follow at GeekCast Radio for all the GeekCast Radio stuff. Mike, where can they find you?
You can find me on social media at BirdmanDodd. You can also find me on the course Radio Network, where you can hear me on Video Game Sophistry on AM 640 in Toronto, Edge 102.1 in Toronto, and pretty much all across Canada.
All right, what about you, Ryan?
Do we get to beat up on No Man's Sky again a little more? Anyway,
oh, I hope so.
you can find me on easiest place social media at Nightbeat, all one word. Excellent Transformer, it's great.
Yes, he is. All right, folks. We will catch you next time here on Mayhem Mikes.
Look at this. What's this?
Oh boy.
Get out of the way, John. No kidding. Rollins and Ambrose take
They're going to work together.
The Spanish
They're
are going to
work together.
They're going to take out the biggest threat. Look, this is brilliant by these two. Take out the biggest threat of Roman Reigns, then fight it out among yourselves. That's what you need to do in a triple threat.
John, this is... Say to the old Shield!
You better believe it.
Chains of the old Shield!
To Roman Reigns!
Roman Reigns!